Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we worship God. Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you, in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant with your servants and showing them constant love while they continue faithful to you with all their hearts. Give us the power of your Spirit, that we may put to death our evil desires and rise to newness of life in Christ, with thoughts aspiring to the realm above and wills eager to live his gospel. Amen. Praise number 75, from all that dwell below the skies, let the Creator's praise arise. A week ago today, Margaret and I went to church at Glenmick in the town of Ballater in Aberdeenshire, unsuspecting. And I had the email came out to us all, and I was delighted to make the offer, as it were. I had a pal who was a fellow, he was a Church of Scotland minister, funnily enough, born in Ireland, who, when he used to talk about after a holiday, going to the biscuit barrel to get a sermon out. You'll never know. We come to the ministry of the word and we hear short readings from the law, from the prophets, and from the epistles. And Raja's going to read.
Good morning. Deuteronomy 29:10-15, the New International Version. All of you are standing today in the presence of the Lord your God. Your leaders and chief men, your elders and officials, and all the other men of the Israel, together with your children and your wives, and the foreigners living in your camps, who chop your wood and carry your water. You are standing here in order to enter into a covenant with the Lord your God, a covenant the Lord is making with you this day and sealing with an oath to confirm you this day as his people, that he may be your God as he promised you and as he swore to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am making this covenant with its oath, not only with you who are standing here with us today in the presence of the Lord our God, but also with those who are not here today. Amen.
This reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Thanks be to God.
This reading is from Romans chapter 12, 1 till 2. A living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Thanks be to God.
Hymn 544. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Let this be our psalm today.
Thank you. This reading is taken from John 15, verses 1 to 10. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Thanks be to God.
I hope you like my red stole. I don't often wear this, very, very rarely, in fact, but they recommend this. It represents the Holy Spirit. And I've got to have something to compete with Dave's shirts. John Ferguson was a lay preacher in the United Reformed Church. He also happened to be a professor and one of the pioneers of the Open University. And in one of his published sermons given when he was serving abroad in Nigeria, in fact, in one of his published sermons, he identified four stages of Christian discipleship. The first stage is curiosity. A person has to want to know what it's all about. The second stage is obedience. Now, there are Methodists who stay away from the annual covenant service because they think that's all about obedience. I rather think it's more about Ferguson's third and fourth stages of Christian discipleship. And the third stage is imitation. And the fourth stage, he suggests, is surrender. Our first reading from Deuteronomy, or as a friend of mine, an Anglican priest, used to call it Deuteronomy, and he actually was probably quite correct. Our first reading joins Moses in Moab. Now, Moab is in the south of modern Jordan. Hill country. Quite attractive in its own way. And he gathers around him people he's been leading through the desert for decades. And they're people with a special history. They are, in fact, special people. And what made them special is that they are chosen. Centuries before this day, God had chosen them. They can trace their lineage back to one man of faith, Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham. It was a covenant for all times, but it needed to be remade again and again. So now, on this day, in this place, in Moab, in the hill country, within sight of the promised land, so near and yet so far, Moses reminds them of how they have been led by God. Everyone is there, high and low, rich and poor, children and strangers too. And rather peculiarly, he refers to absent friends. I am making this covenant, sworn by an oath, not only with you who stand here with us today before the Lord our God, but also with those who are not with us today. It's been suggested that this may have meant those yet unborn. If so, and I think it's a lovely idea, Moses is bringing together past, present, and future within the covenant and God's promises. And Moses tells them that the covenant God made with Abraham, renewed in every generation, was to be renewed today. Today, God was again saying, I am your God, and you are my people. And today, this new generation was to reply, we are your people, and you are our God. Today, the sacred trust which the people inherited was to be made new for them, in order that they could hand it on to those yet unborn. There's no such thing as a one-sided covenant. There needs to be a response to God's gracious promise, both as individuals and as a community. Sadly, a one-sided covenant is what it became. A covenant broken again and again by God's loved but often unfaithful people. Centuries after Moses, Jeremiah the prophet complains, the people take from God without giving in return. But God never gives up on us. So God makes a new covenant, not like the old one. In this new covenant, he says, I shall write it on their hearts, and they shall know me. I shall forgive them and know their sin no more. Methodist scholar Harry McKeating called this reprogramming human will, starting as it does from the inside of a person or a community. More importantly, it starts from God's. In Harry's words, the unbridgeable can be bridged, but only from God's side. We're approaching another Christmas. Don't want to worry you. When we remember how God has bridged it in sending Jesus. Jesus is the bridge between us and God, if you like. But there still needs to be a response. We still need to say yes. We still need to accept the grace of God. When Jesus calls, we must answer. And then we begin to learn from him as we follow him. See, Ferguson's third stage of Christian discipleship, you may remember, after curiosity and obedience, is imitation. Our response is to become more like Jesus. We jumped forward several more centuries for our third reading to hear Paul reminding his readers that we are in debt to God, and what we owe God is to offer our souls and bodies. And by that he means the whole person. This complete surrender is true spiritual worship. Don't be seduced by this age. Enter the new age, the age of Jesus Christ. Be transformed, renewed in every part of your being, in every part of your life. Don't listen to the false message of our times that the age of Christianity is past. It is not. And God's law isn't optional. I like the way that the late Dr. Edward Sangster once put it. God's law is not on approval. It is universal. It applies to everybody by virtue of their being human. It's not like human laws which people can sidestep if they can. In Prohibition era America, rich Americans soon learnt they could get a drink in Canada. In modern Britain, there are those who find various ways to avoid paying tax. But there is no escaping God's law. It's for all time and in all places. And the new quality of life that we experience when we follow Jesus is ethical through and through. God speaks direct to the heart. So we've moved from curiosity to obedience and again to imitation. Doing God's will, living our lives God's way, following the example of our Lord Jesus. And that's still what the covenant is about. To put it another way, as Sangster also pointed out, the law of God may be universal, applying to all people in all places, in all ages, like natural law, but it's not inviolable. Natural law cannot be broken. Ask the man who tried to prove that the law of gravity was false by jumping off a cliff. We can't escape God's law, but it can be broken. The effects are no less devastating, even if much less obvious. And if I may quote Sangster again, God has made a world that only works God's way. Jesus said, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. The vine dresser grafts the branches onto the vine and prunes and nurtures. We are the branches, and we can bear good fruit, poor fruit, or no fruit at all. Depends on how much we depend on the vine. In Jesus' words, depending on whether or not you abide in me. Fruitless branches wither, so abide in my love. By keeping my commandments of love, then you will be fruitful. And the measure of it is how much you love God and neighbor. So Jesus goes on to talk of a loving relationship, about laying down one's life in love. And so we reach Ferguson's fourth stage of discipleship, which is what covenant is about. Surrender. So with these things in mind, we are soon to renew our covenant as we do every year. The covenant service, as I said earlier, is not uniquely Methodist, though since the days of John Wesley, we Methodists have made it our own. You might say that we're renewing the promises we made at our baptism or confirmation. In a sense, we do that every time we take communion. We renew our promises with every Christian breath we take. Saint Callistus once said that the aim of a Christian life is to return to the perfect grace of the most holy and life-giving Spirit given to us at baptism. Yet there is something special about the covenant service. As I said earlier, some Methodists stay away, finding it perhaps too demanding, too strongly worded. But many of us value this day, finding the heart of the service deeply moving and precious. And once again, we shall hear that through Jesus Christ, we belong to God. And that's the way God wants it. It's a time to hold on to the hope in God's word, a time to hold on to faith, because God is God and as faithful as ever and loves us as much as ever. When we suffer, he knows what it is to suffer, suffers with us. in the presence of death. He who has overcome death is there and offers life. When sin and disease threaten to tear apart our world, he is there to put them in their place. And when we are laid down with many, many burdens, sometimes very private burdens, he is there to forgive and to lead back into life. And it's a time to get involved in God's world, to turn our backs on the Vichy government of evil and greed and selfishness, and join the resistance against all that is wicked and demeaning and harmful, to take up our responsibility as our brothers and sisters keeper, to care for one another and love even our enemies, to accept even those who reject Christ. Above all, it is a time to surrender, to open our lives to Jesus, to let him, as it were, take over the controls. Jesus, confirm my heart's desire to work and speak and think for thee. Still let me guard the holy fire, and still stir up thy gift in me. Amen. We sing 553, I am a new creation. Sing the covenant hymn. If you have a hymn book and like to follow the music, it's number 549 in the hymn book.
Thank you.
loving and generous God, you give us so much. We take it so much for granted. And there's this moment in the service when we think again with thankfulness of all that you have given us, and we give back to be used in your service, that this place may be, continue to be, a beacon in what is often a dark world, a place of hope, if necessary a hospital. And we pray that you'll bless these gifts and all that we give away, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Page 200 and... Oh, no, we've got a hymn to sing. The aim in this very long service, of course, is for the preacher to preach a shorter sermon. Well, I failed there, but I did try to choose short hymns. 592. Let us break bread together with the Lord. Go before us, Lord, in all that we do, with your most gracious favour, and guide us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, obtain everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing 548, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine.
Thank you.
God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of an eternal covenant, make you perfect in all goodness, so that you may do his will, and may he create in you what is pleasing in him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon you and those you love, be they near or far, now and always. Amen. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.